my heart only grew fonder.
Your eyes just rolled over.
I'm like, can I find out you're in Nashville? Thank you.
Hello, Addison.
Hey, Billy. Sorry, I came in hot with this interview. I forgot that we weren't completely live yet. And I thought that I heard some drilling by you, or it might be me, but it sounds like a saw is going ham, I think, in your
neck of the woods. As I've mentioned before, my wife runs a wood shop, so it's very possible she chose just this time to do her loud sawing, which is generally the way it works in my household.
Before we jumped on, I was telling Billy a massive bird was deciding to just sing its little songbird notes outside. And so we just might have quite the podcast guest today.
I'm really excited about this podcast. I think there's just a lot to explore. And I think we can be a little bit more free form. I don't have any like show assets or like clips to play. There was too many episodes. And also I wasn't able to download them due to some technical issues. Taylor Sheridan kind of introduces some themes and I think has some quietly controversial takes on some things, which I think is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's just a lot on my mind. I don't know if we'll have time to get to all of it.
We won't be able to have all the time for your mind. Well, this is going to be a very interactive episode in us talking on topics that we do see in these last three episodes, which I guess six episodes in total, that, an overall thought, which I'm excited. I mean, as y'all know, who are listening, who are watching this on YouTube or live currently, we want to know your thoughts. So hit us.
Not Johnny literally. Already checking in, says he's only up through episode 4. Apologize to you, my man, because we're going to have some spoilers here about 5 and 6. So James has checked in. I see a couple of other people who, including Big Joe, who has already checked in with this comment that we'll get to. Who else is annoyed by the ending? How the hell she make it to Montana so fast, especially not telling anyone? She's got a jet and a lot of money.
I was about to say, I don't know how to word this. I know someone with a private jet, and let's just say they can go from zero. Yeah. It will make sense, Billy. I'll tell you after. You know who it is. They don't own one. They are a part, whatever. They are a part of a private jet association, however you word that. And they can go from coast to coast pretty quickly. So that, it really does feel realistic.
So in addition, we're going to talk about the other, in fact, if we could just, I know we got to get to the poll and last week's trivia, but if we could just allow me one quick second to.
You have to somewhat warn me because that little sucker sound goes so loud in my earbuds, my eardrums. What is your breaking news?
Breaking is a bit of a subjective term, but we do now know that Dutton Ranch, the Beth and Rip show, is coming May 15th. Paramount Plus, 2 episodes. That's a Friday, which is real strange. Also, that Friday night, 2 episodes airing on Paramount Plus, the network that Yellowstone was on. And I think this episode we're going to go a little bit deep into what that show will look like and what we know. But let's do that maybe after the Madison talk.
I know. I'm personally excited. I'm also really excited that it's not going to come out all at once like the Madison has. Watching three episodes literally pretty much all day yesterday just to get prepared for this interview was a lot.
100% agree. I finished up about 10 a.m. this morning because I had kind of a busy weekend, so I couldn't get to it. So now I got to go back and rewatch with my wife. Because if you're a guy and you're not making this a couple show, you're doing yourself a disservice. I mean, this is a great couple show. It's emotional. It's a little spicy at times. Mm-hmm. There's some romance mixed in there. Like, you know, you've been married 15, 20 years. You got to take those opportunities when they come. So we're going to go back and watch those reruns. You can be dang sure about it.
What is the poll this week we have for our audience?
This week's poll question is, who deserves the Emmy? Michelle Pfeiffer, Taylor Sheridan, Bo Garrett, who plays Abby, I thought was phenomenal, or someone else. And runaway winner so far is, guess?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
65%. 30% say Taylor Sheridan. No one thinks Abby should get it, and a few people think that someone else should get it. So I tend to agree with that, but there is a lot of good acting to go around. I think the director, honestly, deserves some praise in the Emmy categories as well, because some great decisions. But yeah, so weigh in on that here if you're watching on the YouTube live stream as well. We'll hit those results one more time before the end of the podcast.
Also, I didn't mention it before, but thank you for helping everyone's relationship love lives by suggesting that they watch this with their significant other.
Yeah, I mean, just doing what I can over here. Get yourself a little bottle of wine. You know, you got to be a little bit like Van. Get yourself a good brie cheese and a bottle of wine. And it's kind of our version of a river float. We couch float through 3 hours of the Madison together.
Love it. What is last week's episode? I mean, episode? Last week's trivia.
So no new trivia this week. As I mentioned, there's going to be just a lot of Q&A with people who are in the live chat. So get your live chats in. And we'll get to the podcast schedule at the end, which will explain why we're not doing a new trivia. But we do want to wrap up last week's trivia question, which, for as always, is for a Dutton Rules t-shirt found at the Taste of Country store, tasteofcountrystore.com. You can pick out one of those great t-shirts. If you're the one correct answer chosen from all correct answers, and the question was, name the movie that Kurt Russell and Matthew Fox starred in together previously.
Yeah, and I didn't know what it was.
I have never seen this film myself either. We got a number of great emails and comments in the comment section. A lot of people who knew it was Bone Tomahawk. Kind of a horror thriller, Western horror film is how they're described in it. 2015, Bone Tomahawk, and I've gone ahead and notified the winner, and we'll be in touch shortly to make sure you get that t-shirt.
A Western horror. No wonder I haven't heard of it. I'm not a big horror girl. Who's surprised? No one.
That doesn't seem to be my niche either. You know, to each their own.
Alrighty, let's start with episode 4. Let's kind of go through each episode, give a maybe brief synopsis of what happened. Do you feel good about that?
Yeah, and then kind of along the way, get your comments in and we'll kind of react to people's comments. I'll put them on the screen. We'll talk about them. I already kind of stored up a couple from emails and comments and various places. But episode 4, which seems like forever ago, even though I just watched it literally like 30 hours ago.
I cried, Billy, on this episode. It's for a mixture of reasons. This is not the reason why I cried. What happens in this episode is Stacy's best friend arrives, Lily, and then we understand that Paul was married. I don't think I fully understood. I didn't know that in those first two episodes and how she died. And then, then we hear the flight recording of the crash.
I thought maybe the flight recording might reveal a little bit more, but it was literally what we saw in the premiere episode.
Same. I did too. I thought they might talk more, like put something more that would help maybe the girls, the daughters, find peace. But yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But
it was a little, it was still emotional, but a little anticlimactic from that point of view. But here's a question for you. Do you listen to that? If you're in either the daughter's shoes or Stacy's shoes, are you listening?
I think it would depend on what my last interaction with that person was. Like if your last interaction was, I love you, goodbye, you know, see you when I get home, something like that. I think that's how I'm going to leave it and not hear the pain and suffering that that person might have gone through. I don't think I listen. Do you?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think you have to listen at that moment. Like, I feel like you can get old Van to put that on like a drive or a Dropbox or something. And then later on when you're ready, you give it a chance. So I don't think I would listen in that moment, but I do think I would eventually listen in both of those cases.
Just because you want to know at the end of the day or?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would drive me crazy. Like, what is that? What exactly happened? Van, this sheriff told me I should listen. He recommends I listen as the spouse. Why does he say that? What's on there that I need to know? Whether or not that's helpful for Stacy, I guess remains to be seen. But yeah, I'm going to give it a listen.
Lily, I also got choked up with her because we all have that friend or hope to have that friend that when your life is falling apart, they essentially drop everything to be there for you. Like, that is such a gift. So I definitely got choked up on her scenes.
I 100% agree. When she goes into the water to kind of console Stacy crying and then cracks that joke about how she's wearing a Chanel pantsuit or whatever she was wearing, like, that was a great line and an emotional moment. That actress, I mean, she had kind of some bangers in terms of, like, lines and speeches. Like, it was a really effective part. Like, she gives that story about when her dad died and this and that. That was really tear-jerking. And it was cool that she arrived so quickly. That's very relatable. Kind of throughout this episode, too, they work on planning. Oh, here, let's first couple comments real quick. Andre says, I think the girls have to end up in Montana. One just got fired and almost arrested. The other will chase love. I'm going to go one for two there, Andre. I think the chasing love one will end up in Montana, but I think Paige is a New Yorker for life.
Her and her husband. I think that they will become a little bit more outdoorsy Montana people when they come to visit mom and mother-in-law, but I don't think they're ever permanently. But I don't know, Abigail, thinking about her, I mean, when she was explaining, and I mean, we'll touch on that in episode six, but when she was explaining kind of how her life operated, and she kind of really likes the way that her life has been rolling, moving to Montana and doing what he's doing, very outdoorsy, very not high profile, not high earning job. I don't think she likes to be that put out, maybe is a good word, even financially.
I think they have to spend some good time there at some point next season. Whether it's permanent or not. But that love story that we started, planted a seed for, like, we need to see that blossom a little bit more and take some turns. Because that's really the only thing about this show that is sort of fluid, right? I guess that's not totally true, but it's sort of like the one, I don't know where this is going. Because otherwise, it's a pretty standard death-to-wake sort of plot line. Someone dies, a family grieves, it's difficult, it's clumsy, it's hard to get everything organized, people fight, etc., etc. And then you have the wake and things kind of end from there, aside from the emotional torment. But nothing about that was, like, unusual in any sense.
I'm really liking, especially in episode six, I think the refinement of Paige. It's like the refining and the blossoming into something different. I am really enjoying. She annoyed me the first two episodes. Third episode,
isn't this literally, though, Ainsley Norris, his plot line, like the refinement of Ainsley Norris? It's like the same thing. So it's a little bit of rinse and repeat here for Taylor.
You know, hey, every love story, you have a guy chasing a girl and then there's some conflict and they go separate ways, but then he runs after her. Like, we haven't repeated with the wedding planner, my best friend's wedding. I'm trying to think of any other rom-coms that I love. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Like, it's all the same plot.
We talk about the acting, and even the kid acting is fairly strong. Those scenes, A, with the little girl fishing with Stacy, is pretty interesting. But when Russell and the one daughter, and the same granddaughter, are out looking at different tracks and different animal scat, like, that was still some pretty decent kid acting. Like, pretty believable. And I also liked how, like, throughout this whole series, I've appreciated how Taylor has stayed away from the cliche. The writers have stayed away from, like, the cliches of shows like this. Like, we never learned Preston had another woman. We never learned that his finances were in disarray. There's not an animal attack or nothing bad happens to the kids. Like,
yeah.
While I'm on one hand longing for a little bit more twists and turns, I'm glad we didn't get, like, a cliche thing that has happened in not only every show, but, like, let's be honest, a lot of other Taylor Sheridan shows.
And probably what we'll get in the Dutton Ranch show.
Like, I think
we don't
so.
Get that here.
Yeah, probably at some point. Yeah, you're not wrong. So that was all pretty good. And then I think the other action that from episode four that kind of carries over to episode five is we begin to plan this funeral. Stacy knows where she wants to put the body. And then when Lily shows up, she shows up with the last will. And his will is to be buried exactly where Stacy wants to put him, so that is kind of harmonious. So episode five is focused on the funeral. That's the funeral episode, which was underwhelming? But appropriate. Like, appropriate, but, like, underwhelming. Like, I don't know. That wasn't, like, the most tear-jerking scene for me.
Oh, no. Yours? No, I didn't tear up at all. If anything, Abby specifically was pissed at Paul. And that's not where I really thought we were heading.
Same.
Yeah. No, it just was like it happened, and Van coming to her side was tender. But that's kind of all I got.
I thought it deserves to be mentioned that those two men volunteered to dig two graves on the side of a mountain using a shovel. Like, that guy.
Those things were deep.
If there's a man in your life that's going to volunteer
to dig your grave,
to dig a hole for your dad, like, marry that man. Like, do whatever it takes, because that's a good man. I'm not sure I'm out there digging a hole.
That'd be like one of those. You probably have not had this conversation, Billy, but when they say, like, what's your shallow turn on? That would be it. Like, if he's willing to dig a hole for you, for your, what'd you say, your dad, you're like, yep, you marry him right there on the spot.
Have you ever, like, had to dig a hole of significant size?
Not outside of a beach.
You get down past, like, a.
Why would I be digging a hole of significant size?
What you're into. But you get down past like a foot. That ground's pretty packed, pretty hard. Like, it is. And then you got to square it off so that box can get in there. Like, whoo, doggy. That is an honest day's work.
Those mountain men are built differently. Those cowboys, they're built differently.
Did episode 4, 5, or 6 do anything to lessen your attraction to Ben Schnetzer and his character, Sheriff Van?
No. My heart only grew fonder.
Your eyes just rolled over.
I'm flustered. No, I love his character. I'm like, can I find that here in Nashville? Thank you.
I see the attraction now. I didn't early on, but he's pretty handsome dude.
Thank you. Just his character and who he is. It's more than just attraction or a physical attraction. I am sad. It's inevitable that I saw that they were going to break up. When the episode 5, we're learning and we see that everyone, I guess, is going back to New York. Of course, Abby and Van are gonna break up. They're living two separate lives. He literally is like, hell no, I'm not going to New York, which kind of bugged me slightly, because I'm like, okay, look, I'm not saying move there, but like, you could go visit the woman. You will be just fine. That did bug me a little bit. Also, James, that's funny. He says, Addison likes his $28 uniform. I sure do. It looked great. Van commented when Abby was saying pretty much like, you're hot in your uniform. He goes, well, this is just $28. And I was like, yeah. But anyways, it was inevitable that they were going to break up for now. To your point, like, we've got to see that through. Like, there's no way that it just disappears.
Yeah, they gotta separate to kind of come back together, I feel like.
Hey, what? Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
So there's a few themes that I think we see throughout this series and in some other Taylor Sheridan shows that are kind of worth exploring for a moment. Like, one, big cities, specifically New York City, is always the villain, right? Like, New York City's never portrayed kindly in a Taylor Sheridan show. And we see that again with the mugging, I think, in the very first episode, just the pace of life. Everybody seems pretty miserable. The people are represented like Paige's boss. We meet her in episode 6. Like, that woman just looks like she sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be miserable to work for. Has absolutely no sympathy. Like, I've never lived in a big city like that, but like, I still think that there's all kinds of kinds in New York City. Like, you're going to find some people who are just like normal, like nice people. So that's probably a little bit disingenuous. Mm-hmm. Second theme, nature always wins.
What do you mean by that?
The storm always moves the plot along. Like, the storm cannot be beat. Like, they never get past the storm to, like, it usually has a death involved with it in a Taylor Sheridan show. And then the third one, as I find it really interesting how at times Taylor Sheridan will touch on religion and subjects of God, but he's not necessarily pro-religion or Christianity, but he's not like specifically just like falls into that sort of vague spiritual camp. Like, I kind of like, I want to know if Taylor Sheridan believes in God. That'd be a question I'd ask of him. Like,
yeah.
Does he believe in, because we see that throughout here where like Stacy's trying to sort of have a heaven and God conversation with, I think, one of her granddaughters. And it's kind of like a little bit of a head tilter, if not like a little bit dismissive.
They talk about heaven, right? And she,
yeah,
she goes to explain it, or if he's there. I'm not completely remembering that conversation.
They have a version. Oh, no, she says that heaven, Preston's heaven, is right there in Montana on the side of that hill. Mm-hmm. Like, that is his heaven. I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if it's like a show. Like, if I was someone who was just a diehard, like just every Sunday in church, twice on Wednesdays, like I might be offended by some of the sort of tones of this show from Taylor Sheridan.
I think what, to your point, I would love to ask him. I think maybe what I gather from how he writes about Christianity and God is that he might, obviously, and I preface all this of I have not talked to him, period, that he might have an interesting past with religion, and he's not anti, but he's not necessarily pursuing that. Just in the way that things are worded.
It could be with kind of Stacy. Like an evolving sort of opinion on the topic.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's, as he ages and his kids get older and he gets closer to death, which is common. You know, I think that happens as people get older. Sometimes they reconsider maybe some of their more resistant stances of the past. Big Joe says he thinks Taylor is religious, but not in the church way. Yeah. I don't see that.
I don't fully know what that means. How do you?
Just doesn't go to church.
Gotcha.
Prays at home, maybe.
I'm tracking.
I can see that.
James says he thinks Taylor's God is probably nature.
Yeah. Also very possible. It might not, you know, we asked, like, when I asked Taylor Sheridan, my God, that might be a terrible conversation. He just might not have that many thoughts on it. And this could literally be him just trying to put what he has out there.
Yeah.
Because he recognizes it adds some depth to the show, but it might not be that interesting of a conversation with him. We'd probably do better to talk to him about Westerns and horses than we would God. I don't know.
Like, it actually might not be as deep as we're going.
The end of episode 5, Stacy and Russell, who continues to just be a solid dude, like, through this whole series, by the way. Like, he's like the low-key MVP,
yes,
in my opinion. They go have a drink at the bar. Have you ever drank an Irish car bomb?
I have. In college.
In college. Been a while.
It's been a minute.
I had one not too long ago. Several St. Patrick's days ago. They're not that bad. I like them, to be honest with you. I really like them. Maybe I like them a little too much.
He's like, oh, this whole thing that I have right here?
They go down really easy.
I don't love them. You can do like two or three of them.
Wouldn't recommend it. You can.
They're not my favorite, but that's okay. I'm so glad that you love them. Oh, that's funny. We did not plan our outfits. Rabob is saying, I like the matching outfits. Did you coordinate? I slacked Billy and said, okay, are you going the white shirt? Are you going the gray shirt? Except he decided not to wear a hat, which was part of the plan. Stop.
We agreed on V-necks.
Mine is not. Anyways. Mine's a crew neck.
Russell looks like a Timu Bradley Cooper.
No. Russell will... No.
That's Patrick J. Adams. He's a handsome man in his own way. I don't think he's Bradley Cooper kind of handsome. But okay. I see it. I don't hate it. Addison does, but I don't hate it. All right. Episode 6, we learn how Paul's wife died right at the beginning of the episode. It sounds to me like she was hit by a car, likely in New York City. That's what we're led to believe.
Why New York City?
I don't totally remember, but I think I just assumed that they were both from the New York City area.
Gotcha.
And that's why he moved out of Montana.
Gotcha.
Because the city was too much for him, too many memories. So that adds some depth to a character, but I'm not really sure I understand why. Like, at this point, why do we need to know more about Paul's life? Because he's not coming back for season two. Like, what does that tell us?
Okay, so let me find the notes that I wrote down that. I thought it was an interesting dichotomy of seeing, so like the scenes where we learn, it's Paul and Russell talking, and Paul losing someone he loved so much, I think is a good, you know, and him experiencing the extreme grief and Russell being empathetic but not fully understanding, it was like Russell didn't know that one day how Paul feels his family, personal family, is going to feel. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting, it doesn't add to the plot, but it's like Russell didn't know that his family would soon feel the immense grief that Paul has felt.
I felt in some ways it just kind of was like we needed a flashback sequence there, a little bit more Kurt Russell, a little more Montana. That was going to be pretty light in episode 6, so they plugged that in there. Like, that literally could have come anywhere, I think, in this series.
It
was a good scene.
It was a good scene. I also have so many questions. I've never fly fished at night. That's an aside, and that's really not important here. But yeah. I'm like, why are we fly fishing at night? Anyways.
Family continues to grieve. Both Stacy and Abby come to Paige's side with ice cream and chocolate chips. And what's an adorable scene. We continue to see the growth of Abby. I feel like she's stepping up more and more. Not every time.
Yeah.
But more and more. Paige returns to work, and a coworker tells her that her dad deserved to die. And she punches her in the eye, which was awesome, I feel like. I don't condone violence, but sometimes I condone violence.
No, I thought that was awesome. Then I thought it was awesome taking that girl and Stacy on the back of the ambulance, learning that that girl's dad had passed away from cancer. And Stacy's like, oh, so you knew exactly how she felt and you decided to do what you did. I thought that scene was awesome.
Fans of Gilmore Girls might have recognized Abby's husband, Dallas, as actor Tank Sade. I don't know how to say that name. He played Finn on Gilmore Girls, if you watched that show.
I didn't, but my friends did. As you're talking, I'm looking it up because I'm so curious.
I was wondering if we would meet the ex-husband, all series. I'm glad we kind of did. Like, he kind of looks kind of what I expected, but so far he's been kind of halfway decent, right? He's stepping up in some ways. There was that kind of funny, awkward conversation between Dallas and Russell where they were trying to find some commonality. And I think every guy in the world has been in that situation where you're just next to some dude who does not go along with you. So I appreciated that scene. And then we got the therapy scenes with Will Arnett, which were
so good.
Might have been my favorite from the series, I feel like.
Same. I love his character. I love the groundiness of his suggestions, which I would hope so because he's a therapist. But also, okay, do you think, and this would be a very interesting turning point, and I don't love this idea, but do you think maybe in season 2, once Stacy has healed, a love could blossom?
I thought maybe a love could blossom between therapist and Abby.
And Abby. That's fine. Yeah. I'll take it.
But definitely, I do think it's possible. But again, I hope not, right? Because that's like one of those cliche things that seems to happen. Like, someone's always dating the therapist.
Do you... I was about to say something, then I decided to retract my thought.
Fair enough.
Sometimes I have to remember that this is going to live everywhere. It's
so
taken back.
I thought, in terms of like two characters on screen together, Will Arnett and Michelle Pfeiffer, I thought had the best chemistry. Better than any other pairing. And I find that kind of amazing because they didn't have all that much time together, right? They probably filmed all those scenes in like the matter of 24 hours. Mm-hmm. But they were just really good together throughout that whole sequence. Like, his ability to take those arrows and insults, but not look like he was weak. He gives good advice, like he awkwardly goes to hug her, and it came across sort of as natural. Like, it was good acting, but it was, and you don't expect that from Will Arnett too. I know he's done some serious roles, but like, I still see him as the Arrested Development guy, But I didn't think of him that as that character at all on this show. Like, he was totally believable.
No, I loved it. I also, though, was confused. I was like, I wonder what about her he decided to kind of throw out the way things should legally be done. And, you know, giving her a hug, giving her some whiskey. Like, what about her attracted or, like, made him want to go out on a limb for her?
Oh, I didn't notice this. I gotta find this comment. Hold on. Stand by. Big Joe brought it up here. Did you notice this? Did you notice the Sarah Atwood cameo? Wait,
yes, that was gonna be my next point. I can't believe I was about to say we didn't have that on our show notes. Billy, did you not notice that? Don Olivieri makes a cameo, a hardcore cameo.
I didn't realize that was her.
How did you not realize that? That so shocks me. I thought that was going to be like
a break. I'm embarrassed for me too. I'm
embarrassed.
Shame. More shame.
For you. Yeah. Okay. I totally thought, I was like, oh, you're going to bring this up probably as like a little breaking news thing, because it was that girl. I want to know from Dawn, how do you get into every Taylor Sheridan show? Pop off queen. I would love to take some notes, because this girl, I don't know what's in her contract, but she's ending up in Sarah Atwood in Yellowstone, Claire Dutton in 1883, and then Amber Whelan in Special Ops Lioness. Yeah, that was the research I did. And then now in The Madison. Am I missing another?
She's in The Madison. She plays Paige's boss. So I referred to Paige's boss, and that woman just sucks. That was Dawn Olivieri. Yeah, that one got by me. So that is four shows. Like she's up there near James Jordan territory in terms of like the most shows that a character has been in. That's pretty cool.
James also didn't recognize her. So that's you're good. Not alone. I'm going to say to both of y'all, that was a pretty obvious.
Here's kind of the one question I have about this show. And I don't think we're going to get a great answer for it today. But I wonder how in different people in different stations of life watched and enjoyed this show. I'm 46. I watched it a certain way. Me and my wife will watch it. We've been married 18 years. It's sad, but we're not so close to having to think about the reality of losing each other that it's like heartbreaking. Mm. But if I was like 75 or 80, like my parents, mm-hmm. I'm trying to imagine my mom watching that with my dad right now. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think my mom would be able to get through it. Like, I think it'd be way too emotional. I have an aunt who mm-hmm. just lost her husband last December. Like, she's not even going to get through the first 30 minutes of this show mm-hmm. without it, right? And like, beyond that, like, this show feels like a funeral. This is my one criticism. Mm-hmm. I rate the show a 9 because I think it's tremendous on every level, but it feels so real. I found myself feeling like I was at a funeral. And for me, that kind of manifests as a lot of anxiety, because I'm often mm-hmm. asked to write and read the eulogies at a funeral. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to like cram a person's life into like 3 days time. Mm-hmm. And I never really get to kind of grieve during the funeral. So it's like mm-hmm. a lot of anxious thoughts that were just sort of bubbling up. But if you're like the supporter or like the preparer, or like whatever your role is when it comes to funerals, like it puts you back in that role. And that's the person you identify with this show. It's so real.
Yeah, and I haven't viewed it as much as feeling of a funeral. I think on a personal level, I've been around a lot of, I mean, I'm 30 years old, and unfortunately, I do have like 3 friends whose parents, not together, but individually have kind of very randomly passed away, or I've been around people my age who have passed away more so recently than ever. So I think it's more so been touching on, I think for me, it's been touching on a really personal level of just emphasizing how precious life is and how you genuinely don't know when your day is. And so I think a little bit for me, it's been therapeutic to, I think the tears for me are like really hitting home of just the reality of life. But less of a personal side of I'm married and my spouse could pass away because I'm not married, you know?
RK Husker says, lost my wife of 51 years in January 2024. Cried most of the first episode. Loved the show.
Hmm.
That's interesting. You know, I think that, I mean, I do think it's a great show, so I can certainly see why you would like it. But I just don't have, you know, that's a real blind spot for me if someone's in that situation. The writers get so much right about the funeral planning process. You know, like random person that shows up with food and like the random people, you know, the best friend comes in, like the in-law who helps out way more than you expect him to, like the chaos of trying to get the funeral home because no one really knows what to do. And it's never perfect. And it always feels like sort of, you know, just everybody's flying by the seat of their pants, but it all gets done. And then you have the wake or the meal afterwards and everybody sort of vanishes. And I mean, that's what this show is. I mean, that's all from start to finish. The show is from death to wake. And it's very real to life in that regard.
And I think, too, what was so good, I love the scene where, oh gosh, why am I forgetting the therapist's actual name? What is the therapist's name? Help me. Where is it in my
notes? Couldn't think of it either. That's why I just keep calling him the therapist.
Like, okay, therapist. I know. I thought I'd write him
down. I'm blanking on it myself. I apologize.
Oh, he plays Phil. Okay, his name's Phil.
Okay, sure.
I was like, I cussed when I wrote this down somewhere. The scene with Phil and Stacy where she was saying, you know, I don't want the memorial in New York. And he was like, what actually scares you about that? And the finality of it all, I felt like that was so well written of like the true fear of coming to terms with reality when it's like figured, you know, it's not real until it's real. And you're watching him be buried in Montana and then coming to this and people saying, you know, how much he loved them or they loved him. And just, yeah, how she was explaining how their life is forever altered. But then these people, while meaning well and such great intentions of expressing their serious condolences, like their life goes on as normal after this and her life is forever changed. I just thought that whole scene was so good.
And that, I think, directly leads to what happens at the very end, which is Stacy decides she doesn't want anything to do with this celebration of life. Gets in a taxi, gets in a plane, flies back to Montana by sunrise, where she'd found by next-door neighbor Kate asleep next to her husband's grave site. Her kids, meanwhile, have no idea where their mom is. They've called a missing persons report in. So that's going to be a pretty awkward conversation. But I'm under the impression now, like, Stacy lives there now. Like, she has just moved. Yeah. She is not. She's not coming back to New York, I don't think, at this point, unless it's for a little bit of a visit.
I agree.
And that kind of brings like some Margaret Dutton living alone vibes that didn't necessarily go well in,
for her. Oh, man. Woof,
different really times. Different times.
But this is not 1883, so let's just hope that that is pans out differently. I think it will pan out differently. We've got more than one season to go through here.
They're talking. I mean, we could get, I mean, there's, so we, here's what we know about the show. We know season two is filmed, not yet confirmed. But that just seems inevitable. The cast is talking like we could get 3, 4, 5 seasons out of this show.
That will be very interesting to me. I think 2 seasons.
And how long's a season, right?
Well, I mean, 6 episodes. We have 6 episodes.
Yeah, like I could get 4, 5, 6 episode seasons, sure. But if they're actually going to do a proper season, 8, 9, 10 episodes,
you're out.
Then, well, I'm not saying I'm out. I might very well enjoy it. I wonder if they can kind of keep everybody entertained for that long.
I think this one has 6 more seasons in it. I mean, sorry, 6 more episodes.
if it's successful, they'll get a season 3. No one's walking away from a gold mine.
Okay.
Especially with Taylor Sheridan jumping to NBC Universal. They got this Taylor Sheridan show already. They'll keep it and continue to kind of just squeeze every little last drop of juice out of it.
But look what happened to Yellowstone. You and I got to a point where we're like, okay.
No,
I agree.
We could
have wrapped this up the season passed, you know?
But my point is they didn't, and they kept it because they needed it, you know, because it was a moneymaker. Like, you don't, they're not going to put away a moneymaker. That's my thought anyway.
And it's annoying.
A lot of other Taylor Sheridan shows coming, of course, including Addison. Dutton Ranch is coming.
I know.
Finally.
I'm pretty excited about it. I'm not going to miss. Wait, no, that's not how I'm meaning to say that. I'm not looking forward to the blood, guts, and gore that this for sure is going to be bringing. I've loved the Madison for what it is missing, and that's why they make these shows. The Dutton Ranch is for people like you. Now, what I am excited about is similar to why I geeked out in Landman. Landman was based in Texas, specifically like Lubbock, Midland area. That is my Fort Worth. Like, that's my home. So I am excited that this is going to be based in South Texas, right? South Texas?
I don't know what that means necessarily, but South Texas, yeah.
I don't either, because South Texas, I'm thinking like San Antonio, that outskirt area, New Braunfels.
Right.
Which would be awesome. But I don't know yet. So that part I'm excited about. I'm like, get me to Texas. The blood and guts I could probably do without, and I'm probably going to have lots of opinions on it.
A legacy is a beautiful thing, but only if it survives. I'm gonna rip this shit in my palm to
left. That song could not have been better picked, and whoever edited it, I mean, I'm like, hell yes, let me run through that brick wall. I mean, put that on my workout playlist. I don't think the actual editing of that song or the production of that song is, like, I can go listen to it on Spotify. So well done.
It's the Eminem and Nate Dogg song. Yeah, I forget the title of it, but the scene from, there's, I mean, three things that I really liked about that, but that scene with Beth Dutton talking to Annette Bening's character saying a legacy is a beautiful thing, but only if it survives. That to me is like not only the most exciting part, but the most informative part. Exciting because that is like classic Beth Dutton saying, using words to put that squeeze on someone. And if you've watched Yellowstone, you know exactly what she's saying and how she's saying it. Which means that Annette Bening's character, her name is Beulah Jackson, I believe, on the show. She plays a neighboring ranch owner who's described as being pretty ruthless. To me, that means that that is the nemesis. That is the enemy of Rip and Beth for this show. It's Beulah Jackson's character. And that's cool. I think the women characters on the Yellowstone shows always end up being the fiercest and like the most entertaining to watch.
I agree.
So to see those two battling back to head-to-head, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I am excited. I just might have to mute the gory scenes.
Andre says it'll be interesting to see why, how they bought the ranch in Montana and then almost immediately said, nah, let's go to Texas. 100%, right? Because at the end of Yellowstone season 5, they bought that ranch just a few hours away. And someone else also pointed out, I think in comments of a video we made for YouTube, that there's a scene with Beth and Rip in front of some mountains with some snow caps on it.
Yep, I saw that.
So that tells me maybe we'll get a little Montana, Beth and Rip, at some point. That would explain why they've moved. But let's be honest, Beth just loves Texas. I mean, she's been flirting with Texas for several years, right? Like
yeah.
The Four Sixes Ranch and all that. Like, it's kind of seemed inevitable that she was going to get on down.
I'm kind of thinking, is there a world, I think there's a high likely that one of Elle Langley's songs is going to appear in this series.
Yeah, but not choosing Texas, I don't think. Unless it's like there's like a playful. It could be choosing Texas.
I could see it at a bar scene.
Yeah.
I'm thinking bar, kind of like an Ashley Cook moment in Marshall's. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
What episode do you think we'll get a Taylor Sheridan cameo in Dutton Ranch? 3, 4?
Episode 3.
I mean, there's the potential, right, for like the Yellowstone universe to kind of come, like maybe we get to catch up with Jimmy and Teeter, who are at the Four Sixes Ranch in Texas. Maybe they kind of brought into an episode.
Gosh, surely.
Seems possible.
Surely. We just kind of, they got left in the dust. Like, surely we somewhat bring them back. I hope so. And maybe the other, not cowboys. What's the terminology I'm looking for? The other guys.
Ranch
Ian
hands.
Boehm. Thank you.
Yeah.
He's a hottie. I'd like to see him again on our screens.
Purple Butterfly asks if Madison is going to have a season 2. Almost definitely. It's filmed, but not yet announced. James clarifies that Dutton Ranch season 1 has 9 episodes, which is absolutely correct. So here's what you need to know about that. May 15th, it's a Friday, 2 episodes are going to drop on Paramount Plus, presumably that morning. That night, Paramount Network, the same channel we watched Yellowstone on, is going to air the same 2 episodes. After that, we're going to get 1 episode, I believe, a week, weekly, Friday nights, which will put the finale on July 3rd. A little bit strange, but Yellowstone originally was always sort of a summer show. So unless they adjust the schedule, it wouldn't be too unusual within the universe for a show to end on the 3rd of July. Although this seemed like kind of burying a possible good moment, so I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there's another 2-episode finale or something like that on like the 26th of June or something.
We'll see.
Or yep. not, we'll and see. Then I'm excited. Other characters here, because I have some pictures I can show from the first season. These are throughout the whole first season now. We got pictures. You see Ed Harris as part of the mm-hmm. show. He plays a veterinarian named Everett, who is described as being a military veteran as well as a veterinarian who's kind-hearted and has a good sense of humor. So we know he's not the bad guy. A lot of Beth and Rip. This guy here, I don't know his name off the top of my head, but he looks like a bad dude. And then there's one more picture I want to kind of zoom in on here. We see young Carter, who has returned. He must be over 21 because he's going to be sipping a beer, but by his side is a young blonde. Looks like Carter's got himself a little girlfriend named Oriana on this show.
And very close she's to American Ariana.
Yeah, O-R-E-A-N-A. I know that because I typed it and it spell checked to Oceana.
You're like, that's not what we're looking for.
It's journalist issues here, guys. # journalist problems.
Esther Folly says, please save this live. This will live on our YouTube channel. If you go to, there's a little drop down right after you see Taste of Country, and it'll say like video, live, shorts. Click on the live tab, and that's where you can find it. This definitely doesn't go away. You can also listen to this, unless you want to see our faces. You can also listen to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all those places.
Are we wrapping up?
Unless you have a few more things to say, I was going to wrap us up.
I don't poll. Really necessarily, but let's do one final poll check. We got time for that?
We sure do.
Poll this week. So quick on the podcast schedule, we're going to take a little bit of a break now because there's nothing else to talk about. We'll be back on, I guess that would be the 12th of May, which will be a few days before the start of Dutton Ranch, and then we'll go weekly on Tuesdays. We're going to keep it on Tuesdays, even though the show's on Friday. That seems to be a good schedule. So that's why no trivia this week. We won't be back next week. But of course, you can find the old episodes. Poll question we always ask in the YouTube live chat, who deserves to win the Emmy? And 70% of people say that the Madison Emmy should go to Michelle Pfeiffer, Taylor Sheridan, 20%. One person voted for Bo Garrett, Abby, and then a few others voted for someone else without really specifying who that someone else is.
There you have it. Y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. Reminder that staff at Taste of Country is where you can leave your thoughts. I hope you guys enjoyed a little different of a podcast today. It's always conversational, but we had conversations that were broader about just Taylor Sheridan and his shows. So hopefully y'all enjoyed it. Comment on the actual YouTube video if you want to leave more of your questions and thoughts there, if you don't, email us. And Billy, we will see them in May, which will be here before we know it.
Yeah, it's only about 6 weeks away.
Y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. The Dutton Rules Yellowstone Franchise Podcast is another thought-provoking Townsquare Media podcast.
Peace.
Bye.